Welcome to the Voice of Truth on 103.3 WAJR-FM, the radio broadcast ministry of Christian Apostolic Church in Clarksburg, West Virginia. And now, your host, author, teacher, and pastor, Doug Joseph.
Ever since I first delivered a message about the Blood Moon Tetrads to our church on Easter of 2014, I've wanted to get it to the radio broadcast so our listeners could hear what we taught to the church. And we've finally been able to do that. You're about to hear part one of a message about the Blood Moon Tetrads. Again, you'll hear me making some time-based references to what just happened. And at the time that I was saying that, it was Easter, which was April 20 of 2014. You're going to be blessed by this important information that has a broad pertinence to a scope much wider than just Easter of 2014. Let's roll the tape.
That surprises you that we would take an Easter text from Revelation. Let me just tell you that I believe that any preacher worth his salt could preach on the resurrection of Jesus from any book of the Bible. Amen. And it is very easy to preach on the resurrection of Jesus from Revelation chapter 12 because it is typified by a heavenly, a story that is played out symbolically in the heavens. Amen. Revelation chapter 12 says, "And there appeared a great wonder." Some translations say, instead of great wonder, they say there arose an important sign. "And there appeared a great wonder in heaven," or a great sign in heaven. "A woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars." Turn to your neighbor and say, "That's Israel." I'm going to show you why I say that in a moment. "And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pained to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth." Tell your neighbor, that's the devil and the fallen angels. "And the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered for to devour her child." Tell your neighbor, that's Jesus. "As soon as it was born." I don't have to remind you that the devil tried to assassinate the Christ child shortly after his birth through a wicked ruler named Herod. Verse 5, "And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron." And now, I want you to see that his entire life, ministry, death, burial, descent into the abode of the dead, and his resurrection are all compressed very tightly in the story. It skips straight from his birth through all of that right to his ascension. And it says this, "And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven." Let's go before the Lord in prayer for his help this morning. Lord God, I pray, let your anointing and your strength. Let your anointing and your help be upon us, Lord, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Amen. How many of you got to stay up into the wee hours of the morning, or you set your alarm clock and you woke up in the wee hours of the morning to see the recent lunar eclipse called a blood moon? I stayed up and was able to see it. with a little bit of patience. We did have cloud cover here, and that did prevent it from being easily observed. But I did stay up, and I want to tell you there were breaks in the clouds occasionally, and about every 5 or 10 minutes there would be a break come when you would be able to catch a glimpse, and it was a powerful thing to behold even through the cloud cover. Now, I'm not trying to frighten you. I'm not trying to scare you. But I do want to alarm you with the significance. The Lord Jesus told us to watch for signs in the heavens. And the Bible foretells signs in the heavens. And I don't want to stretch to attach meaning, but when I consider the significance, it becomes very difficult not to see meaning in this. And so, let me bring some things to your attention. First of all, I want to tell you that there is a rare occurrence in which these blood moons, as they are called, happen in rapid succession. And the concept here is that the full moon before the equinox and the full moon before the one equinox and the full moon after the other equinox, that those full moons turn out to be lunar eclipses or blood moons, one right after the other. And it just so happens that there is an event, a stellar event that happens when these blood moons happen, one in the spring, one in the fall, and then the very next year, another blood moon in the spring, and another blood moon in the fall. Now, whenever three of these blood moons happen together, they are referred to as a triad. But the most unusual is when four of them happen together, and then they are called a tetrad. Blood moon before the equinox in the spring, another blood moon after the equinox in the fall, the very next year, another blood moon at the full moon before the equinox in the spring, and then in the fall, another blood moon at the full moon after the equinox in the fall. And when it happens like this, it takes 2 years to see it happen, and it is called a tetrad. Now, the interesting thing here is that the Jewish calendar, which has been in operation for thousands of years, is based on lunar cycles as well as Earth's rotational cycle as well as our orbit of the sun. There are three different cyclic patterns that are reckoned together in the Jewish calendar, but primarily it is referred to as a lunar calendar. And the Jewish calendar has this event system that was ordered by God, these seven feasts ordered by God. And there are two of these feasts that happen in the vicinity, and according to the lunar cycle, they happen in the vicinity of these full moons. And it's interesting that when you count the tetrads that have occurred, four blood moons in a row, when you count how many tetrads have occurred from the time of Jesus Christ until now, there have been 62 of them. But of that 62, only 8 of those tetrads have happened where every single one of the four blood moons fell on these two Jewish feasts, the one early in the year, Passover, and the one late in the year called the Feast of Tabernacles. And so 8 times since the time of Christ, there have been 4 blood moons over a 2-year period, full lunar eclipse falling on Passover, full lunar eclipse falling right on Feast of Tabernacles. Then the following year, another full lunar eclipse falling right on Passover, and then another lunar eclipse falling right on Feast of Tabernacles. Now what's interesting is, in the last 500 years, this hasn't happened except on certain years when there was something amazing happening connected with Israel. And so we want to bring this to your attention and ask you to consider the significance of this event. First of all, I want to explain to you why I say that the woman is Israel. Now, the Bible says in Revelation that there appeared a sign or a great wonder in the heaven. In the heaven lets us know that we're talking about astronomical signs. And the scripture says that this woman appeared in the heaven, and she was clothed with the sun and had the moon at her feet, and she had a crown of 12 stars. So this calls to our mind the sun, the moon, and the stars. And when you look at the nation of Israel and go all the way back to the beginning of the nation of Israel, you come to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jacob was the one who wrestled with the angel and had his name changed from Jacob, schemer or supplanter, to Israel, a prince who has power with God. And Jacob, also called Israel, was the one who had so many sons that his sons became the 12 tribes of Israel plus the priestly tribe of the Levites. And so the 12 tribes of Israel are so significant in attaching the number 12 to Israel. Now, there are some people that argue that because there were 12 apostles, that it attaches significance to the number 12 to the New Testament church. But I want to tell you why we don't attach the significance of the New Testament church to this woman, but rather the Old Testament significance of Israel is attributed to her. Jacob, who was renamed Israel, one of his sons was Joseph. And you remember Joseph had dreams from God. And in one of his dreams, his father was the sun, and his mother was the moon, and his brothers were stars. And the sun and the moon and the stars bowed down to the star that represented him. And when he told these dreams, one of his dreams involved he was a sheaf of wheat, and his brothers were sheaves of wheat, and they bowed to him, and his parents bowed to him in the dream. And in this other dream where the sun and the moon and the stars bowed to this one star that represented Joseph, it caused his family to be disturbed. His father rebuked him for it and said, "Are your mother and father going to bow to you and serve you? This is crazy talk." And it caused his brothers to hate him. And eventually his brothers sold him into slavery. They intended to kill him, but they changed their mind. They sold him into slavery, and he winds up serving as a slave in Egypt. The master's wife, the slave master's wife, tries to seduce him. He refuses to sleep with her. She catches a hold of his coat as he flees away. She lies on him, has him thrown in prison. And eventually he interprets the dream of the Pharaoh and is made second in command over the most powerful empire in the world of the time, Egypt. And then God allows a famine to come into the land where his family lives, Canaan's land. And so in order to survive, his father and mother and his brethren have to journey from Canaan land to Egypt. And there they bow before an Egyptian ruler, not knowing that it is Joseph. And in that act, they fulfill the prophetic dream in which the sun and the moon and the stars bowed to their offspring and their sibling, Joseph. And so when we see a woman clothed with the sun and having the moon at her feet and having a crown of 12 stars, sun, moon, and stars takes us right back to Joseph's dream, and it's all about the fledgling nation of Israel. Now, I want to mention to you some amazing things. And again, I'm not trying to scare you, but there is legitimate cause for alarm. There is in Greek a letter, and I'm not an expert in Greek, and if I write the letter wrong, the letter looks something like this, and it's the Greek letter phi, and the Greek letter phi is used in mathematics to refer to a ratio called the phi ratio. And the phi ratio designates a certain kind of spiral. And the interesting thing is that this spiral, the phi ratio, turns up in nature everywhere. There are plants that if you look at the spiral of the seeds in the center of the plant, you see a phi ratio. There are other plants that have another type of golden ratio that's close to a phi ratio. There's also a significance there. But the phi ratio also turns up in spiral galaxies. The phi ratio even turns up in the spiral of the human ear. There are places everywhere in nature where a phi ratio shows up. And when we think about a phi ratio, my mind goes to a couple of things because of the significance that this shape, this ratio, plays with regard to these most recent tetrads and the one that we're in right now. Y'all know we're in the middle of a tetrad right now. That blood moon that I stayed up to watch was the first of four. It happened right exactly on the Jewish feast of Passover. This fall, another full lunar eclipse, another blood moon, will happen exactly on the Jewish feast of Tabernacles. And next year in 2015, that will be repeated. There will be another blood moon next spring exactly on the feast of Passover. And in the fall of 2015, there will be another blood moon exactly on the Jewish feast of Tabernacles. Now, when we think back to what Jesus said in Acts chapter 8, he said, "And you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and in Judea and unto the uttermost part of the earth." And we see an outward spiral of the church's expanding message. The Holy Ghost was poured out on them at the temple. Turn to your neighbor and tell them the center of the spiral is the temple. Okay, thank you for being obedient. Such a weird preacher asking you to say all this weird stuff. The center of the spiral is the temple. The Holy Ghost was poured out on them in the temple. And then the people spread the message to Jerusalem. Tell them the inner part of the spiral is Jerusalem, the city of Jerusalem. And then the message spread out to the city. The city is named Jerusalem, which means the city of peace. And so then from there, the message spread out to the uttermost parts of the earth. Now, I want to show you something. Who's running the Great Wall of Technology there? Kyron, bring up image number one, would you? Image number one shows you a diagram mapping out this most recent tetrad. Now, folks, you need to understand that when we look back over the last 500 years and we see tetrads occurring that fall on the Jewish feasts where all four of the lunar eclipses happen right in a row, and all four of them happen on Jewish Feast of Passover, Jewish Feast of Tabernacles, and then the very next year, Jewish Feast of Passover, Jewish Feast of Tabernacles. When we look at that, what we realize is that when you go back, you're going to find that one of those tetrads happened at the time in the very same year when the UN recognized Israel as a nation. Okay? When you go back behind that one, you find a tetrad that fell on Jewish feast days in which Columbus discovered America and in which the fact that the Jews were without a homeland was highlighted by the fact that they were kicked out of Spain at the close of the Spanish Inquisition. So what we have, if you go way back into the distant past and find a tetrad where all four blood moons happen right on these Jewish feast days over a two-year period, four blood moons, two per year, each on these Jewish feast days in the spring and the fall, it is a blood moon tetrad signifying the Jews have no homeland. Then we come forward to the next tetrad of blood moons, and that one happens in 1948, they declared their independence, and in 1949, the UN recognized them as a nation, and in 1949 began another tetrad. So we have a tetrad on Jewish holidays that highlights the fact they have no nation. Then the very next set when a tetrad falls on Jewish holidays, it's commemorating the fact that now they have a nation. So what I want you, what I want to show you is that we're starting the spiral in reverse. Okay? It started with the temple, it went out to the city, then it went out to the nation, then it went out to the world. And so when we start that spiral in reverse, it starts way back when there is no nation of Israel, no land of Israel. The next tetrad we come to is the one shown here on the left with blue highlighted at the beginning of the pink bar. And that one, in when that tetrad started in 1949, was the same year when the UN recognized Israel as a nation. So we're back here coming in. And then, I don't know if you can see from there, but there's a faint yellow line making the phi spiral. When you come over just enough to hit the phi spiral, you find another tetrad. And that tetrad happened when Israel fought the Six-Day War. Now, we have one tetrad occurring when they get their land back as a nation outside of the spiral. So as we come in the spiral, what's the next thing we come to? Is the city of Jerusalem. Well, guess what happened in the Six-Day War? They captured the old city of Jerusalem and again possessed the land where the temple had once stood. So we're coming back in the phi spiral, and it just so happens that the distance of a phi spiral, the distance from here to here on the spiral, and I don't have the spiral drawn very good. This part should go out like this if it was drawn right. This distance from here to here represents the number of years between those tetrads, and then amazingly, the distance, the time from here to here represents the time from then until the tetrad we're in right now. And so as we work the spiral backwards, it starts with them getting a national land back. And then the next tetrad happens at a time when they get the old city of Jerusalem back. And if you're following my line of thinking with the pattern as we rework the spiral back inward, it would seem to indicate prophetically that the next tetrad, the one we're in now, is somehow significantly connected to them actually getting a third temple built. Now, anybody that understands prophecy knows that you can't hardly talk about a third temple being built without talking about a massive upheaval. It would have to be connected to a severe upheaval in the Muslim world. And for those of you who don't understand, when the Muslims had control of the Holy Land, there is a mosque, a Muslim mosque, built right where the temple is supposed to go. How many of y'all knew that? All right? How many of y'all have seen pictures of Jerusalem and there's this beautiful building with a gold dome on it right there in the middle of the picture? You've seen photos like that? That building with that gold dome is not a Jewish temple. It's a Muslim mosque. So the Romans came in 70 AD and they tore the temple, they destroyed the temple. And then in subsequent centuries, the Muslims possessed the land and they built a mosque right where the temple is supposed to go. And if you were to tear down that mosque, it's the second most holy site for Muslims. The first one is Mecca. The number one most holy site for Muslims is Mecca. And when Muslims pray, they kneel toward Mecca when they pray. But the number two most holy site in the world for Muslims is the Dome of the Rock in Jerusalem in Israel. And if you were to tear that mosque down to build a Jewish temple, it would cause World War III of Muslims going bonkers. Okay? Now, I want to explain to you folks, Muslims are sincere, and some of them, quite a few of them, are radical. Not all of them. And if you think all Muslims are radical, you're painting them with too broad a brush. All right? Now, I want to tell you that Muslims make the same mistake about painting us with too broad a brush. But do you realize... Do you realize that MTV exported a filthy lifestyle and a rebellious culture to the world, and MTV changed the world. And they changed the world by introducing 7 new words per year to the culture. When satellite TV first started exporting American television abroad, the very first thing that got exported abroad was MTV. Now, how many of you know that the worldliness and ungodliness of MTV does not represent your values? But Muslims watching satellite television in their country thought that MTV was telling them what America is like. America was here morally, and MTV was over here. But they watched that and thought, that's what all Americans are like. So I want to tell you that, unfortunately, America has moved to become like what MTV said we are. And that's sad. But not all of America has moved that way. But when they paint us with too broad a brush, thinking we're all like MTV, don't make the same mistake by thinking that all Muslims are jihadists. They're not all jihadists. And if you meet a Muslim in college, and there's a lot of Muslims in Morgantown going to the university. If you meet a Muslim in college, do not assume he is a terrorist. Do not treat him as though he is a jihadist. He may be, but odds are he's not. She's not. And so when you meet them, show kindness to them as a Christian. I want to tell you a true story. A kind, peace-loving Muslim came to the United States to go to school. And here he is. He's going to university in the United States. And he goes to university for 4 years and he's getting ready to graduate. And his American roommate is helping him pack. And the American roommate says, "What are all these?" And the Islamic college student who's getting ready to go home said, "These are gifts. My mother sent these gifts with me so that I would be able to give a gift to every American family that invited me over for dinner. And no American family's ever invited me for dinner, so I have all these gifts to take back home with me." So I want to tell you, when you meet a Muslim, don't assume he's a terrorist. Don't assume he's radical. Don't assume he's a jihadist. Look at him as a soul who needs Jesus and invite him over for dinner. Okay? But my point is that in order for them to get their temple back, it's going to mean the eradication of the number 2 most holy site for the Muslims in the world. In other words, it is going to take a radical, unbelievable, an unimaginable set of political events for that temple to come down, and sincere religious Jews who want their temple built again to get their temple to exist on their own land that they took back and legitimately possess. And so I want to draw some more things to your attention. Kyron, go ahead and click to the next slide, would you? All right, that zooms in close, and I don't know if you can see that little tiny orange line that represents the phi ratio, but the phi ratio is such that from here to here is 19 years, and then, click to the next one, Kyron. The next one shows that from here to here is 48 years, and so you take the 19 and the 48, and that just happens to be the year when Israel declared their sovereignty. Did you go to the next one, Kyron? Go ahead to the next one. There you can see the spiral. And here we're zooming in. That on the left at the edge of the green is the last tetrad that happened that was coincided with the 6-day war when they got the old city of Jerusalem back and took possession of the land where the temple ought to stand. And then on the right side of the green is where we are in time right now.
For listening. You can reach us online at cac.us.com. Catch the Voice of Truth broadcast each Sunday morning at 11:30 right here on Talk Radio 103.3 WAJR-FM.